Good morning and God bless you. If you would turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians and the first chapter. Last week we looked at verse 1 and talked about grace to you and grace with you, that Paul knew that he was writing the Word of God, and he said grace to you as a prayer, and then he was going to give the Word of God to you, and that's why at the end of all his books, just like at the beginning of all his books, he says grace and peace to you, then he says grace with you. He's saying, I'm praying that this grace that I'm about to deliver would stay with you. If you stay in that word, you will stay in that grace. So let's continue to do that now and stand for the reading of God's word. Last week we looked at verse 1, and today we're going to look at verse 2. And we'll call today's message, I thank God for you. I thank God for you. Let me read verse 1 and then verse 2. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers. Father, as we pray now, we give thanks for the people that are here, the people that are watching online, the people that will hear this message later, whenever and wherever that context may be. Father, be glorified by magnifying your word in the power of the Holy Spirit, that we might worship through preaching, teaching, and listening and fellowship around your word, your masterpiece, Holy Spirit, that you have put down and you allow jars of clay to proclaim that word. We are indeed confident in it, Lord. Bring it home to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So again, last week we talked about this grace to you. At the beginning of all Paul's letters, grace to you. And at the end of all his letters, grace with you. Because he's saying a prayer of, I pray that you receive what I'm about to give you. This grace in the Word, the grace, the peace of God flows from the grace of God, which flows from the Word of God. And so that's what's going on here. And now we've talked about in prior weeks as a lead up to 1 Thessalonians, from 1 Thessalonians, how he knew that they were saved and how he saw the transformation in their lives. He'd only spent just a few scant weeks with them and then sent Timothy back because he couldn't go back. And then we've talked about that, but he says, I want to tell you something. I thank God for you. Now in our message today, we're going to focus on prayer. He says, we give thanks to you constantly, to God, in our prayers. We're going to focus on both our prayer life as a church and then also your prayer life as an individual. Now, of course, when I mention prayer, you might have an, what's he going to put on us now? Right? When I mention prayer, some people might immediately feel a dread about it, like I'm going to ask you to pray more, or I'm going to ask you to pray longer, or somehow I'm going to manipulate you to feel like, you know, you're going to be guilted into having one more thing to do. We come to church, we think, what now? One more thing to do. Well, we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. You are not going to be, I'm not going to lay a new burden on you today. What I'm going to do is bestow a blessing upon you. You are going to like this. And this blessing to you can become a blessing through you, from you. You can receive this and then also spread this out. This is no limited resource, zero-sum game. It's not, I've only got this much, and if I want my part, somebody else has to not have their part, like a zero-sum. There's only, no, this can grow. This is no limited resource, zero-sum game. Instead, this is a blessing that comes from you to others and from others to you. And this has unlimited potential. If we would take advantage of this opportunity, see, this is not going to be an obstacle. It's something you already want to do, something you partially do, but something if you pay attention to and others do, wow. It would make such a difference in our lives as a church and in our families and with our loved ones and with ourselves. Today, you can start to change the world around you. And I mean that today, just by doing something very simple. Not adding a bunch more on, not being so, oh, I've got to do this, and if I don't remember this, and I've got to have this long list, not at all. Someone say, relax and rejoice. Hallelujah. Because I always am of that, you know, those cookies aren't free crowd. I've got something for you. What did Ronald Reagan say? Beware of those words. I'm from the government. I'm here to help you. You know, I'm in the pulpit and I've got something for you, but I want something back. You know, that type of thing. Well, today you can start to change the world around you. And this is all possible and only truly possible if we start with God. It's always about that. I like the little bookmarks. I like the things. And we talk about our identity in Christ, but we don't preach our identity in Christ. We preach Christ because sometimes we fail in our identity. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You see, it does you no good to get excited about what God says about you if you're not one of the you. It does no good to get excited about what God says about you unless you get excited about what God says about himself. Because otherwise, you're just practicing self-esteem and using the Bible to do it. And there's a lot of that in the world. And there's a lot of that in the church. And we don't want to do that. Paul was saying, I thank God for you. And he gives specific reasons why. Because of the work of God in their lives. And I want to talk about a work of God in your life that you can cooperate with that will really help you. This has unlimited potential. But it only starts rightly and ends up in the right place if we start with God. And as we go through this message, I pray you will clearly see this. So, at the start of this message, what I'm going to do is ask you a few questions. And then we'll come back to those questions at the end after we've preached through this a little bit. And then you'll understand a little better how to put this all together. Amen? Does that sound like a plan? So, I want to ask you a few questions. Again, at the end of this message, we're going to come back to them. And there's no need to feel guilty. Hallelujah. No need to feel guilty about this. Instead, just get excited that this is an opportunity to grow in a way that you will enjoy and a way that makes others happy. Now, that sounds good to me. So here are the questions. Again, just relax. Here are the questions. When is the last time you told someone that you were thankful for them? When is the last time you told someone that you were thankful for them? And further, when is the last time you told someone why you were thankful for them? Why you were thankful for them? And when is the last time you thanked God for them in prayer? Think about what he's doing in this verse. I thank God for you in his prayers. And then he also lets them know. So when is the last time that you thank God for them in prayer and that you let them know that you were thanking God? Not just praying for them, but thanking God for them. And when's the last time that we, as a church, thank God for a particular ministry or mission or missionary? And of course, that's why I made sure to do that this morning. So our last time is today. So now to the text. We. Just simply says we. Now when Paul prayed as an individual, he said so. Like in Romans 1:8, Paul says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, beloved, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. So when Paul is mentioning himself praying for somebody, he says that. But when he prays with somebody else, he indicates that. For example, in Colossians 1:1-3, he says, Paul, an apostle of Christ, Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy. Like here in Thessalonians, he says, Paul, Silvanus, which means Silas, and Timothy. When he says we, he means we. They were praying together. Of course, they were praying separately, but also together. There's something there that I want to bring to you. He says, apostle of Christ Jesus, again back to Colossians 1, and Timothy our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. You see, don't get choked on any hors d'oeuvres. To the faithful believers. So we think, well, I'm not the one being faithful. He's not speaking to me. Do you believe? What's the work of God that you would believe in Christ? We'll talk about this today. It's God that keeps you. It's not your grip on God. It's his grip on you, because your grip will get slippery. You see, if I'm going up the hill with one of my granddaughters, I'm going to be holding on to their wrist. They might be holding on for dear life to my wrist. But if they're holding on to me and I'm not holding on to them, they could slip and fall. But if I'm holding on to them, I just pick them up, even at my advanced age. Thank you. At least for a couple more years, I think. Although I couldn't make that 15-pound basket for the life of me the other day. I'm still haunted by that. I'm like, I'm really not strong anymore. And I look in the mirror and measure myself against the wall, because I'm still doing that. It's just not happening. I'm like 50, going to be 57 years old, and I'm this 5'1¾". I went backwards. I did. I was 5'3". I'm sure. My license says so. It's Mother's Day, and that's what my mommy told me. But my mom's getting shorter and shorter, too, so it looks like I'm growing if you look at it that way. Well, He says to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. There it is. We thank God always when we pray for you. So this we in 1 Thessalonians 1:2 is saying that Paul, Silas, and Timothy had been praying together for the Thessalonians. These aren't wasted words. These are certainly true words. So surely they were praying individually for the Thessalonians as a church as well. But this we is not to be overlooked. Corporate prayer. Now keep listening. Corporate prayer in church, prayer meetings, believers praying individually, but also together for others on a prayer list, groups of people praying for missionaries and praying about other godly endeavors, families praying together for family members, hello, loved ones praying together for loved ones, etc. This is an important part of our prayer life as individual believers and as a church. Now, I like when people talk about being prayer warriors and all this. I never really understood that too much. Who are you fighting? You're not praying to Satan, are you? Mm-mm. And Satan, we do this. Don't do that. What are you doing? But you can be a mighty prayer warrior in your prayer closet, in your war room, as they say. And that's good. Of course it is. But if you never pray at the same time, in the same location, praying together for the same needs, you are missing something. And you're withholding something from others. Oh, yes. People need more than your prayers. People need prayers made together. You need to pray together with other believers about the same things at the same time. Romans 15:6 says that where's the positive part? It's coming. Romans 15:6 says, together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that would include your prayers, and that would include the prayers of others, including believers who are still children and everyone else. And let me help you. If you can't be with other people, if you're laid up for some weeks or you can't make it or whatever it may be, and if you aren't able to leave your house, use your phone, use your computer, use whatever means you can find to find a way to pray together. And so Paul says, we give thanks to God always for all of you. I'm so thankful that you chose Jesus. He didn't say that at all. He's saying, I'm so glad Jesus chose you, and I can see, and I give thanks to God for that. Salvation is something that God initiates, and salvation is something God continues. God gives us a new nature and a new direction, and that was being evidenced by how the Thessalonians received the Word of God and how they were living out the Word of God. Amen? Paul, Silas, and Timothy knew that God had started and was continuing a work in this church, so they were thankful. And Paul is about to tell us how and why they were thankful. He says, constantly mentioning you in our prayers. So prayer was how they were thankful, because we always give thanks to you. We're praying about it. We're saying, thank you, God, that I've seen them turn away from those idols, that even when they received the Word of God, they didn't receive it like a word of man, but as it is, the Word of God, and it's working in them, and they received it with confirmation, and they received it even though they were going through all kinds of tribulation, and they wound up telling everybody about Jesus, and they didn't even have to. Everybody knew something was going on. And that's stuff we've covered already, but we'll be going back through that as we go through the text. But Paul, Silas, and Timothy were genuine ministers. And as we said a few weeks ago from Colossians 3:24, all Christians are ministers because all Christians are serving the Lord. Not all Christians are serving the Lord well. But a genuine ministry includes genuine prayers. And genuine prayers require a genuine effort, which includes being heartfelt, constant, specific, and fervent. In Colossians 4:12, Paul said this, Epaphras, this is also Epaphroditus, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you always struggling, agonizomai, struggling, agony. Do you hear that? Oh, here it goes. Just hold on. Struggling on your behalf in his prayers that you may stand mature and fully assured in the will of God. And I pray that for many of you, and there are some now that are going through such incredible tribulation. Some of us are watching us right now. And I got a text saying, yes, this is harder. We've been through some of this before. Now it's hard again. But we're still thanking God, and we're not giving up on God because he'll never give up on us. That's paraphrasing. So then my prayers get answered. Oh, I don't want them to get answered like that. I just want it to happen. I don't want to see that it's happening, but you know, that's the way it is. They were going through all this, and he didn't say, now pray all this persecution away, did he? No. He said, I thank God that I see you standing fast. Oh, there's some more. See, there's this honeymoon period where you're winning microwaves and all this wonderful stuff. And then there's this other part, you know, where, but like, Lord, I pray that you let this honeymoon last a couple of years, please. But if not, that means he knows that he's make you stronger. Oh, yes. This is what we're talking about. He says, I'm praying that you stand assured in all the will of God. He was agonized. He was struggling in prayer, earnestly desiring that God would mature the Colossian church and grant them a godly assurance. I'm assured because no matter what shakes me, Jesus juice comes out. Whatever squeezes me in life, that's what's happening. When someone shakes your tree, what kind of fruit falls down? Doesn't mean you do it perfectly. It's not about perfection. It's about direction. Okay? So Paul saw this. In just 3 weeks? Well, then Timothy went back. In just a few months? Yes. Because what God starts, God finishes. Amen. So they had this assurance. So Paul, Silas, and Timothy were praying like this for the Thessalonian church. And in verse 3, we see specific reasons for their thankfulness. Your work of faith, labor of love, and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And then I mentioned some of the things in verse 4 through 10. He further details it. Prayer is how they were thankful, and Paul tells the Thessalonians specific reasons why they were thankful. Now listen up, because I don't want to discourage you. I want to encourage you. Yes, genuine prayers are heartfelt. They're constant, fervent, and specific. You know that when it's someone that you really love and they're real close to you and you're dependent on them and you need them to get better or whatever it may be, you are going to pray hard, as it were. But let me say something to you. Genuine prayer, again, is heartfelt, constant, fervent, and specific. But not all of these factors are all present or all present to the same degree in every genuine prayer every single time. General prayer can be genuine prayer. I haven't seen you in a long time. You haven't told me your situation. You don't feel like telling me your situation. I can pray for you and still be genuine. I can pray for mercy and grace for your physical and spiritual needs. Like we based on, remember, prayer made simple from Proverbs 30, verse 8, 5 and 6. General prayer can be genuine prayer. Not all simple prayer is just superficial prayer. When we have these children up here praying for other people, you think, well, but they're not going to use all the right phrases and things like that. No. That's where I'm going. Because they're learning, and they haven't been corrupted, and they haven't been superstitionized, if I could say it that way. There's my new word for the day. Again, not all simple prayer is just superficial prayer. And you don't have to pray constantly for someone for that prayer to be genuine. Thank God. The amount of prayer isn't as important as the genuine quality, the heartfulness of the prayer. And you may not have prayed constantly for someone, but your prayer might still be genuine. You don't have to know someone well to pray for them well. You don't have to know someone well to pray for them well. You don't have to be close to a situation to care deeply about a situation. You don't have to sweat in prayer to put genuine feeling in your prayers. I think that's what people mean when they say prayer warrior. But the better you know someone, and the better you know their situations, the more you'll pray for them, the intensity will increase, and the more specific your prayer will be. It will be more than mere routine. It will be genuine. And now, think about what was going on here. Think about the context, this particular situation. Paul, Silas, and Timothy had spent very little face time with the Thessalonians. And yet they were genuinely thankful. God wouldn't allow them to put this in the book. They were genuinely thankful to God about what he was doing with this church. And they were genuinely praying for them because seeing them believe and grow and witness was a confirmation. Someone say that word, confirmation. That's not manipulation. That is confirmation to Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Now, this is mighty important. You see, they were a confirmation, the newbies were a confirmation of the veterans, and the veterans were a confirmation of the newbies, and we need both. they were confirmed because they were genuinely praying for them, because they saw them believe and grow, and it was a witness, and it was a confirmation to them. And then Paul, Silas, and Timothy were a confirmation to the Thessalonians because they could see faithful men who were staying the course through all the hardships they encountered. We see people getting saved, and we see them growing, and we see God keeping, and we think, thank God, thank you, Jesus, amen. And then other people see us having to go through things, or, you know, we're 70 or we're 80 and we're still pushing forward. Hallelujah. That's a confirmation. Then this isn't just a flavor of the month thing. This is a whole life thing. Confirmation. As a matter of fact, I believe that's our next message. The ministry of confirmation. I need to see these generations growing up in the Lord. I will feed them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I pray that I'm a witness to them as they are a witness to me. Amen? What do we have for the children in this church? We get them involved in the ministry. More and more so. And if you've got ideas, I'm listening. Again, these people, Paul was saying, we're so thankful for you. And we're rejoicing for you before God. And therefore, they knew that they would be able to stay the course because they knew God was who saved them and God was the one that would keep them. God was the one that was keeping Paul. They think, well, we have all this persecution, but they kicked Paul out of the town. He's not coming back. He's writing from prison all the time. He's been beaten almost to death. They thought they left him at dead once. All these things I'm sure they knew, and here comes this guy, and he won't give up. Why? Because God can't give up. God was the one who saved them, and God was the one who would keep them. Their assurance was based in God, and so their thankfulness for the people was towards God. They said, he said, we thank God for you, always in our prayers. I thank God when I see people get saved. I thank God even more when I see them stay saved, if I could say it that way, that it wasn't something that was just fake, flavor of the month, we manipulated them, sign that card, get dunked and all that. I'm not mad at any of that. I'm saying it's good when it's 20 years later, and there you are, right? And same thing, you see me, and you say, there's 20 years later. He's saying the same thing. Yeah, hallelujah. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungry and thirsting to hear it like the rest. I'm not going to get tired of this. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, it will be that we sang all along. So let's hear those questions again. When is the last time you told someone that you were thankful for them? I mean, you can do that today. But when's the last time you told someone why you were thankful for them? And when is the last time you thanked God for them in prayer? And let me say something about forgiveness here. You know what a big lesson in forgiveness is? Is learning to thank God for them in prayer. Now I just did lay something on you, so forgive me. But think about it. And when is the last time you thank God for them in prayer? And when is the last time that we as a church today, thank you, Jesus, thank God for a particular ministry or mission or missionary? You know, people talk a lot about praying for you. I'm praying for you, and they mean it generally, I'm sure. That's good, of course. It's encouraging when someone tells you that they are praying for you, especially when it's someone you're not expecting. And then you want to get cynical and say, well, why you don't? I don't want people to know. Well, Pastor, stop telling people about what's going on with me. I'm not. God is. But think about this. How encouraging would it be if instead of just telling someone you were praying for them, you also told them that you were thanking God for them and why you were thanking God for them? My friend that's been my friend since the second 6 weeks of sixth grade in 1977 texted me this morning and told me why he was thankful for me. There's your confirmation. And it was specific. And one of them was, you have stood by me through whatever may come. That sounds like a wedding vow, doesn't it? But we're here with you. We're here for you. We're here together. We need you. God doesn't need anything, but he puts us together to reach the full assurance of Christ and all his riches together. Together. How encouraging would it be, instead of just telling someone you were praying for them, you also told them that you were thanking God for them and why you were thanking God for them. Imagine how that might impact your relationship with people. Think about that. Think about it. You say, well, I'm just going to be dragging myself through the mud to try to tell them because I really don't want to. Pray first. And think there are some good things. Because it could be just, I thank you that you're a good part of my sanctification. Margie makes me mad. Thank you, Jesus, for my wife. And then he's like, go tell her. Thank you for making broccoli, although I hate broccoli. Thank you for thinking of everybody else. You see, we could have fun with this. It's the truth. We don't want to do it, but if you start doing this, you'll find this growing in your life. It'll impact your relationship with your people and with God. And you don't even have to imagine. You can read about it in God's Word. You can read and see clearly that God wants you to thank Him for other people. I thank God for the people in our church. I thank God for the confirmation that He is still saving people, growing people, and keeping people. I thank God that I can see examples of people who have been strong in the faith for many years. And I'm looking at you four back there. Yeah, you two and the ones in front of you and behind, you know what I'm talking about. Low maintenance. Consistent. Oh, man. I thank God for you. And I was thinking about the other day, and I was thinking about all four of you in the shower, and I was just thinking about praying. And now, see, that's you. That's not me. I thank God that my conscience is clean. No, I'm talking to the corner because it's behind me, and I'm just looking in the corner, and there's this little piece of dirt that sits there, and I talk to it. No, and I honestly thought about it. And I thought about, well, you know, now I'm going to be 57 this year. I've had a stroke and two heart attacks. And now some of our friends are going through some stuff and all this. Yes, it's you four. And I was thinking, wow, now they're really getting older. You know, and you always, when you're younger, you think, well, you got young church, this, that, and the other thing. And it's like, but then all the people that are, Tristan's going to be old one day. I won't even be near here. Okay, good. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, now what's going to happen? And I came right to me. It came right to me. They'll be praising God just like they are now. Even if their voice isn't as strong, even if they can't move along, which we don't hope. We hope it just goes great. I hope Jesus comes back today. That's what I hope. But you get my point. When you see that, and when you see generations, and I think of the kids that were in the Good Spirit Foundation, like my daughter, and now their kids, and then so forth and so on, and people keep going, you see that the gates of hell do not prevail. We are storming the gates. We are taking captives for Christ. Even if it means we get burned a little bit and it's a little bit messy. Those words are there for a reason. Some you win them through love. Some you win them through fear. Get right or get left, you know? That's what I needed. That's what you need sometimes. But I thank God that He uses different kind of people. Because there's people I can talk and think, I've got all the arguments and all that, and don't make no sense. Somebody else, or something could happen to your mama, and then you call me crying, big strong man. But God was in that moment, and you know it, son. You know it, and it was beautiful, and that's it. And I thank God that He's still moving. He's still saving people. He's still bringing them back, turning them back around, saying, "I'm still here. It's okay. I still love you," and keeping them. We think of all the, you know, if God's not the one that keeps us, I'm already gone. I'm way, way gone. You having to deal with me and me having to deal with you, I'm gone. That's just the way it is. But what's the thing that God is doing in your life? Be thankful for that and be thankful to God for those other people that are part of that and let them know. Again, I thank God for that. Thank you for allowing me just to talk. I thank God for the people in our church. I thank God for the confirmation that He's still saving people, growing people, keeping people. I thank God that I can see examples of people who have been strong in the faith for many years. And I thank God for example. Someone sent me something on a Wednesday night. I said, I thank God because I see you grow. And sometimes I go back a little bit and I need to grow some more. And I thank God, listen, for all those who have fallen back but who God turns around. And yes, you may not believe this, and I'm still working on this, but I thank God for all those I don't really agree with, and even for those I don't get along with, but who I know are Jesus' people still. Part of learning to forgive others includes learning to thank God for them. Whoever you are, wherever you are, whenever you are, I thank God for you and all my brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you. Amen. Father, nice to hear, so easy to agree with, and yet can be hard to do. But then I know, Lord, I'm so thankful that when it is happening, that we know it is you, because we wouldn't do it on our own. And yet you help us to do it and then see the benefit of that and then press through with that. And then others do that. And then it grows. And then we reach a full assurance of riches in Christ together, because like glue, the Holy Spirit is meshing us into one and growing that up as a church. Not just me and my Jesus, us and our Jesus. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.